stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we're very glad that you guys are going to spend some time with us today. Brother Sam, what has the Lord put on your heart for us to get into in this episode?
Well, Kyle, we finished off the three parts on is a thought sin, and we covered that. One of the things I want to do today is kind of paralleling with looking at thought is people have probably heard a statement that's used a lot of times about you need to take captive your thought. Take captive your thought. You see, thought's not a sin. You just need to take captive your thought. Well, let's look a little bit more into that and where that comes from, and people may be surprised at the answer. So today, we're going to look at that phrase, taking captive your thoughts.
All right. Well, with that, I'll open us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day and the beautiful weather that we have. And Father, we thank you for our jobs. We thank you for all of the blessings that you've given us. Father, we especially thank you for the gift and the promise of your Holy Spirit. Father, the work that it has done to change our lives, to guide us and direct us into all truth. And Father, we thank you for this ministry and the time that we get together to share the Word of God with those that are out there willing to listen. And Father, we know that you're doing a work, a wonderful work. Father, we pray that as your Spirit moves around those that are listening, Father, that their eyes are given the ability to see as they follow along in the Scripture, and Father, that they have ears to hear, that they might understand the truth that's being taught, completely unfiltered and uncensored, hear, O Lord God. Father, we praise you and thank you in the mighty and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I'm encouraged about a couple of things, Sam, before we get started on this. You know, the Lord has called someone in the Alexandria region, and that person is considering that calling and considering a lot of things. And I guess just openly as we sit here and talk, I prayed it before the show as we had finished the other one, but I'm just going to say it out loud right here. I pray in the name of Jesus that those of you that live in the Alexandria region, that you take heart and know that the Lord has called a pastor to your region to equip him with supernatural power, the ability to teach, the ability to guide. And Father, we pray that for those folks that are waiting, Lord, bring them together. Allow them to have that strength and unity of spirit that only you can do and you can bring. Father, we thank you for the work you're doing. And we pray that as this pastor considers everything that he has heard, that you work on his heart, that you draw him close, that you take away and remove all barriers so that he will fully embrace the calling to which he has received. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen. Kyle, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5.
We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ.
Taking every thought captive to obey Christ.
That's right.
Now, Kyle, a lot of people are familiar with that statement there.
Yep.
But Kyle, it gets so taken out of context. You see, most people use this in justification to say that thought is not a sin and that it's okay to have those thoughts, not realizing that the thoughts, the desires, is what actually defiles you and is the proof that you still have the bad heart. Now, the thoughts that they're talking about here is thoughts that are raised up against the knowledge of God.
That's
it's not talking about thoughts in your heart that you're struggling with sin. Those are discussed in other places.
That's right. These are against arguments and lofty opinions.
That's right. This is against arguments and opinions against the knowledge of God.
Amen.
Now, if you back up, in the very beginning, verse 1.
I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away. I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh.
Oh, you know, it's funny, Kyle. I think of Romans chapter 7, the walking according to the flesh. That's the man that's condemned that Paul uses as an example.
People wretched
say that's
man.
All he does. No, Paul does not walk according to the flesh.
That's right, but
how does he walk in verse 3?
For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds.
To destroy strongholds. And these strongholds are what, Kyle?
Arguments and opinions in verse 5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God.
Now, Kyle, the whole thing that Paul was doing is trying to argue and reason with people because they're believing and false teachings.
That's right.
You see, the whole thing about taking captive thoughts into the obedience of Christ is all these thoughts of false arguments and opinions against the knowledge of God, not preaching truth,
but
a false gospel.
Yeah, people were trying to I would say, and when you consider the earlier part there, they were trying to impugn Paul while he wasn't around, and that's what he's working to take captive
now,
again.
Paul still had several things against the Corinthian church. One of the biggest issues was they still struggled with disobedience. They couldn't even join the spiritual warfare against the wickedness of the world, against the lies of all the false teachers, because they were still false themselves and that they were still slaves of sin. What does he say in verse 6?
Being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete.
Because they had not yet come into obedience. Now, one of the issues, as you keep reading for context, what are these false arguments, these false opinions? Well, Kyle, the problem is they're in the church.
Yep.
They aren't outside the church. They're in the church. And that's one of the reasons why the Corinthian church, many of them, couldn't come into obedience because they were not believing in the true faith, the true gospel, and the true spirit. What does he warn them and caution them in chapter 11?
Verse.
Actually, even before then. Yeah. One of the problems is there were people that were standing up against Paul and what he was speaking. What does he say about these people in verse 11 and verse 12?
I have that marked. Let such a person understand that what we say by letter when absent, we do when present. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding.
See, the standard is Christ, Kyle. You either walk as Christ or you aren't Christ.
He pointed out moral relativism right there, folks. Right there. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you.
Now, in chapter 11, verse 1 through verse 3, or verse 1 through 4, what was the problem?
I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me, for I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ.
A pure virgin to Christ.
But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ.
Their thoughts being led astray? Now, Kyle, we're talking about thoughts on the knowledge of God, right?
Yeah.
Accepting what in verse 4?
For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough.
Oh, they put up with it. You see, Kyle, remember going back to taking captive the thoughts that are raised up, these false arguments and opinions against the knowledge of God? This is the context of taking captive the thought. Everybody's sitting there talking about the struggle of sin in their life. No, no, you can't even fight the fight of faith and war against the forces of darkness because you're still a slave of sin. You haven't even come into obedience yet.
Hmm.
You know, Kyle, one of the things I just think about right now is in 1 Peter chapter 1, I think it's verse 2, he's talking to all the saints scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen or elect according to the foreknowledge of God by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ. You see, when you receive the true Spirit of God that sanctifies you, makes you holy as an event, the result is you're able to obey Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Later on, I think it's like in verse 14 on, it says, obedient children, no longer conforming to your former lusts that were yours in ignorance. That's the old man who couldn't obey, but as the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. All your behavior. How? Just as God is holy.
Yep.
For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Kyle, people don't understand this. You see, they have that whole phrase, taking captive your thought, completely backwards. They only know one way to apply it because they're still a slave of sin.
That's right.
They can't even think to apply it the other way because they don't have comprehension and they don't understand that they're accepting a different spirit, a different Christ, a different gospel, and they don't even understand.
Sam, they don't even know how to have fear. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's own deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile.
And I think that was chapter 1, what, verse like 17, 18?
Yeah, it was 17 and going into 18.
Okay. Now, back to 2 Corinthians, and that was in 1 Peter chapter 1. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul doesn't want to beat them up, but the problem is he can only speak the truth in Christ. What does he say in verse 10?
As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do! And what I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do.
They think. Kyle, y'all meet with pastors and whatnot before we get into it. They're like, but we kind of believe the same thing. But we are working together. It's all about the kingdom of God. I'm like, no, you don't understand. You think you're serving God. You think you're furthering the kingdom. You're furthering the kingdom of the devil.
They scatter.
Kyle. Who does he say these people are in verse 13? They think they're boasting in Christ. They think they're doing the same work.
For such men are false apostles.
False apostles.
Deceitful workers.
Deceitful workers.
Disguising themselves as apostles of Christ.
Apostles of Christ. Kyle, if you are carrying the title an apostle of Christ, are you going to be going around saying we must hate, pillage, burn, steal, idol worship? No. No, if you carry the title of Apostle of Christ, people are going to be looking up to you. As a matter of fact, it says they're disguised.
Yep.
People don't realize it. You see, if they were to, let me ask you this, most of you who are listening, would you even think to consider of getting the title of your pastor, titling him, he is an Apostle of Christ? Most people might even think that that's going too far. And yet here, Paul is saying that people will bear the title Apostle of Christ, and yet it's in disguise, and the people don't even know. They actually would consider and count it, I think my pastor or my leader would be considered an Apostle of Christ. They're a godly man. They love me. They care for me. They care for the sheep. They read the Word of God. They do all this. But Kyle, there's a problem.
There's a huge
problem. See, there's no different than Satan. Look at verse 14.
No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness.
Servants of righteousness.
Whose end will be according to their deeds.
Kyle, because they can't overcome sin. They're still a slave of sin.
That's right.
You see, this is the danger. This is what my prayer is. You see, I'm appealing with you, the audience, the same way that Paul appealed, the same way the Spirit of God appeals to all the people in the church that need to come out and wake up. You need to please listen. Kyle, please read 16 and on.
Again, I say, let no one think me foolish, but if you do, receive me even as foolish, so that I also may boast a little. What I am saying, I'm not saying as the Lord would, but as in foolishness, in this confidence of boasting.
So now he's going into foolishness of boasting because the people won't just simply accept the truth. So he goes in, and as he goes on, he talks about, am I a Hebrew? Am I not an Israelite? Am I not a descendant of Abraham? Aren't they all servants of Christ? And because everyone's claiming to be a servant of Christ. It's not that they aren't claiming to be a servant of Christ. It's because they are. And the whole point is you keep reading through chapter 11, you find out the argument and everything that he's going back and building off of it, that whole statement about taking thought captive thoughts is against the arguments and the speculations against those who are saying they're Christians. Not about a sin struggle in your life. That's the proof that you aren't a Christian, but it's against these other false heresies, these false gospel, false Christ, false spirit, apostle of Christ, but they aren't, servants of righteousness, but they aren't. Kyle, as he keeps going down, the problem, what he's really burning over, is the people who cannot be freed from their sin.
Yep.
What is verse 28 and 29?
Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern?
That's right, because all these people continue to be led into concern. Now, as you keep reading through all this, Paul, because he's going through this whole argument of, hey, listen, I am a genuine person. I am truth. I am serving Christ. What does he say in chapter 12, verse 11 and 12?
11 and 12. I have become foolish. You yourselves compelled me. Actually, I should have been commended by you, for in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am a nobody.
Again, Paul has to defend himself because people are trying to undermine his teaching.
The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles.
Paul is going through and giving his, one of the authorities of that he is a true person. What does he say about expending his soul in verse 15?
I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less?
That's right. But Kyle, the issue is sin. What does he say in verse 19?
All this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it's in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish. That perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slander, gossip, arrogance, disturbances.
For you who are listening, do you have any of those in your life? Do you have strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossips? Do you have arrogance? Do you have disturbances? See, there's an issue. There's a problem. Were you not cleansed from all sin? Oh, I'm sure you know 1 John 1:9. Were you not cleansed from all sin when you confessed? Or do you not really understand what that truly meant? See, Paul's afraid and he's concerned.
Yep. I am afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, immorality, and sensuality which they have practiced.
Yeah, when you look at God, he always boils down the sin basically to immorality, impurity, and sensuality.
That's right.
It's you see, idolatry, immorality, putting things above the world, things above God, that's immorality. You can't get around it. As he accused the people in the Old Testament, and even Saul, disobedience is idolatry.
That's right.
Disobedience and stubbornness of heart is idolatry. That's how God defines it. Don't try to make up your own definition. Say, well, I don't do what Israel did. You not obey God? You're an idolater in his eyes. You see, in the end, what Paul has to challenge these people, this church, he says, listen, are you even in the faith? He doesn't say, oh, it's okay. You're in the faith. You confess. You believe. No, Kyle, he commands them. It's an imperative command to examine and test to even see if they're truly a Christian.
That's right. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?
Yeah, and that's chapter 13, verse 5 and verse 6. But and so you who are listening, go ahead and
I'll
say
read
that.
I'll read the six. But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test.
See, Paul, they don't fail the test. They know. They've overcome. But many of these people in the Corinthian church do fail the test.
Fail.
And that's why he's commanding them. And that's why he's rebuking them, because they're going off and not receiving the Christ, the gospel, and the spirit that Paul proclaimed, the truth. But they've gone off after these false teachings against the knowledge of God, this false speculations, opinions. That's the thought you're supposed to be taking captive so you can be saved from those things. Verse 7, not that we, now we pray to God that you do no evil.
No evil.
Not that we ourselves might appear approved, but that you might do what is right, even though it may appear that we fail the test. He's like, but we don't. They don't, but they're being accused falsely. You know, Kyle, I'm going to end on this, which was in the last one of the last chapters over in 1 Corinthians. And I pray this is a conviction to some that are listening today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul gives imperative commands. Verse 33 and 34, he says, stop being deceived. Bad homilies corrupt good morals. Bad teaching, bad speaking. The word is homileo, corrupts good morals. Awake to righteousness and stop sinning. This is a command. Stop sinning. Some of you who are listening have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Those are the words that were inspired by God through Paul to speak to a quote-quote Christian church. Please heed these words. Stop being deceived. Father, I pray for those who are listening. For those that are not deceived, praise God. Continue to strengthen them, O God, and give them boldness and put your words in their mouth to go out and proclaim the truth and to perform signs, wonders, and miracles as a testimony that they proclaim the true words of God and that you are with them and testify with them as they go and they live a holy, blameless life with a pure heart. For those that have not experienced such a life, I pray that they're convicted. I pray that they realize that you are declaring to them, O God, this day that they are being deceived. That you are declaring to them that they got to stop listening to these false and these bad homilies. You are declaring them today, O God, that they must awake to righteousness because they are still in darkness. and you are declaring today that they must stop sinning. And that they acknowledge and they confess and they agree with you, O God, that they still have no knowledge of God to their own shame. Because they should know better. Just as the Corinthians should know better. They had the truth spoken to them. Many people have the true words of God before them. But they let their pastors and their leaders twist the words of God into a lie. And they put more faith and credibility in the words that come out of a pastor's mouth than they do in your written word and spoken word, O God. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.